Hello, my friends, and welcome to a bonus episode of Unlimited. I have missed you so much. I really enjoy doing this podcast, and I didn't realize how much until I took a break from it. I am still technically on break. However, I recognize that the holiday season is, can we say, just a little bit stressful? And it's a weird time. We're in this odd place of kind of being mostly maybe through the pandemic, but are things creeping up or like, what are we doing? Back to normal? I don't know. It's a lot. It's very confusing. So I know that we also have a lot of family dynamics that come up during the holidays. And last year, I can't believe it was last year, but last year I did an episode all about setting holiday boundaries. So if families and boundaries and stuff is something that you find coming up that you would like to kind of understand, well, how do I do this? How do I engage this boundary stuff in this season in particular, but also in general? I mean, it applies at all times. Then definitely take a listen to that episode, and hopefully it will be supportive for you. This episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the main stressors that we have come up in this season. I actually did a poll to find out what are the main stressors, because of course I have my own ideas about what is stressful during this season, but everyone's a little bit different. And the main stressors that people brought up were time and navigating how much time they have available, taking time off, not taking time off, and dynamics with other people around time and expectations, money and presence and budgeting and all the things with that. People, of course, you know, that plays into, well, both of the other ones, and then weather and travel. So all of those are kind of intersecting triggers. They play with each other quite a bit, not in ways that we always like. And so I thought, all right, well, let's talk about that. What are some tools? Let me give you some tangible tools to engage so that you can support your discernment processing, how you handle those things, and feel like you are making decisions and showing up in a way that's aligned with the person that you want to be versus just reacting to the dynamics around you. And hopefully that way you can really enjoy your holiday season, which, you know, like with the weather and such, can be a little hard because a lot of people struggle with the seasonal change, the time shift. Those, all of those things have impact on our level of stress and our level of energy and everything. So in this episode, we will be talking about 7 tools that you can tap into to navigate some of these stressors that often actually are present in the rest of the year, life during the rest of the year, but tend to stand out a fair amount during the holidays. So without further ado, let's get started. Hey there, I'm Valerie Friedlander, Certified Life Business Alignment Coach, and this is Unlimited. This podcast bridges the individual and the societal, scientific and spiritual, positive and negative, nerdy and, no, there's just a lot of nerdy. Come on board and let's unlock a life that's as badass as you are. So my family right now is in the middle of a move. We are moving to a house from a condo. And so if you hear it's a little different sounding in this episode, it's because I've removed everything from the walls. So there's like nothing to block an echo at this point. And, you know, talking about stressors for the holidays, I'm like, yes, let's add one more moving. Anyway, we're not going to be talking about that, but I just, you know, this will be my second time moving in the middle of winter in Chicago. And I can't say that it's really been the best choice, but the outcome I know will be amazing. So sometimes we have to walk through interesting times and discomforts to get to the other side of something we want. That's not always what I would recommend doing, but anyway, I'm all about finding what works for you. And well, with all the factors in consideration, this is what works best for us. So anywho, I know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about stress. So specifically, and more generally speaking, the stressors that we're looking at being the time, money, people, and travel, / weather, because that's often what creates the stress around travel this time of year, all intersect. And some of the core places that they intersect are around expectations, perfectionism, interaction habits, and then, of course, there's the impact of the seasonal cycles. So I'm going to say seasonal affective disorder. I kind of have an issue with that one. Not to say that it doesn't exist, but because I think our societal expectations exacerbate it. Because if we honored the cycles of the seasons and our own body cycles, there would probably be a little bit less of the seasonal affective disorder. And I think calling it that kind of individualizes the experience as though something is wrong with you. And I don't really think there is something wrong with you if you are experiencing more sadness, a desire to pull in, a decrease in energy. This often happens even more in particular when we have that time change because it feels like it's darker all the time. And again, that is what that sad is about the seasons and more darkness and all of that. So I mention that because I do think it plays a role in how we experience stress because a lot of times we need to look at the varying layers of stress. It's not all mindset. It's not all the way you're thinking about things. Sometimes it is the way your body is experiencing things. Actually, a lot of times it's the way your body is experiencing things because your body and your brain talk a lot / all the time. And the majority of that communication is not happening in the conscious part of your brain. So noting that you may be more inclined to be reactive in this season, to feel stressed in this season because of some of the seasonal dynamics that your body is experiencing. So with that in mind, that can exacerbate some of those reactions to, say, your expectations. I heard this saying years ago, the idea that expectations are premeditated resentments. And part of the issue with that is like, they're not always premeditated. Like sometimes we have expectations and we didn't realize that we had expectations and then suddenly we're irritated. And some people get irritated about that particular thing that they had an expectation around. And some people, or at some times, there is irritation about everything because one thing didn't go as expected. And so now everything seems dangerous because again, our brain is processing things and there's like a little guard dog at the front going, okay, is this safe or is this dangerous? And the unexpected is frequently cataloged as dangerous. And so when it's like the guard dog is going, rawr, 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 there's danger here, there's danger here. Sometimes it's specific to the thing that there was an expectation around. And sometimes it is related to everything. Suddenly everything is dangerous because if one thing was dangerous, then everything might be dangerous. So there are a variety of reasons that can happen. It's important for this podcast and the purpose of this podcast is really just to notice it. And not judge yourself over having expectations because, again, most of those expectations aren't really conscious expectations. So often they're subconscious. They're just, well, an assumption that was made because the way I think about something, you're going to think about it the same way. And that isn't always the case. So it's really just noticing. The more you can notice, and oftentimes, we don't even realize that we had an expectation, that we're annoyed about an expectation until we notice that we're irritated about something and you look at it. Why am I so irritated about this? What button got pushed for me? Oh, it was an expectation. I thought it was going to go a particular way and it didn't. Or I thought you were going to react a particular way and you didn't. So it's really just getting curious about the reaction, because most of the time when it comes to these stressors, they're going to happen. You're not going to stop them from happening. Sometimes you can kind of preemptively engage them, but most of the time they're going to happen. It's really reducing the impact they have. And when I say the impact that they have, I don't just mean on you, because your body automatically is sending out the hormones going, there's danger here. It's really more, how do you show up with that? And how long do you show up with that energy? So someone does something you didn't expect, it triggers you, you get reactive, and then you go, oh, I see what's going on. And the sooner that happens, the sooner you can interrupt that. But it may take a couple bounces back and forth between you and another person to realize, oh, there's something going on here. And then you get to show up to that. And maybe it's showing up to that by apologizing. Maybe it's showing up to that by asking questions. Maybe it's asking questions to yourself or to another person to get more information. Maybe it's setting boundaries. So referring back to that holiday boundary setting episode from last year, and also to the episode Girl Learn to Apologize, if you want some tips on apologizing. So expectations are a big one. Perfectionism. Sometimes we have in our head, and this ties to expectations, right? We have in our heads the way we want things to be, this ideal version, and we set kind of this unintentional goal of it's going to look like this. And when you're trying to meet an unreasonable ideal, that is going to stress you out. So trying to make everything perfect, even if you don't realize that's what you're trying to do, right? Again, this is primarily about noticing, so that then you can interrupt, because you can't interrupt something if you don't notice it. You have to notice it first. So that's always going to be the very first thing. So setting actual realistic, reasonable, supportive goals for yourself and what is quote unquote good enough. So we'll dig more into what that can look like in a minute. But I just kind of want to highlight that notice where you may have some unrealistic expectations or unreasonable ideals. Another one is interaction habits. There may be some habitual interactions, specifically with family members, but even maybe a sales representative, that when you go shopping, or certain expectations that people are going to behave a certain way because of the way they've behaved in the past, or the way you've behaved in the past. So we sometimes get caught in these cycles of assuming based on past interactions and then showing up with a defensive energy, expecting to be attacked, and then no attack happens. But because you showed up with that defensive energy, the other person picked up on that, they felt attacked, and then they responded in kind. And so then we have this back and forth. So that is not to say that there aren't people who you do need to be more protective of yourself with, right? There are plenty of family members who maybe aren't the safest people, who are people that where you need to have stronger boundaries around. So that's not to say that like you should just put yourself out there and assume everything is fine. Let people teach you who they are, but also let people teach you who they are. So maybe they will be different. Be open to them being different. That doesn't mean like go tell them all your secrets or allow them to do things that they haven't earned the right to do. They haven't earned your trust, but be aware that people can be different, and also that you can be different. Going back to that perfectionism, if you have an ideal about something that maybe was reasonable last year or 2 years ago, but it isn't reasonable now. Like, for example, for me, there are going to be certain things that because we're in the middle of a move, they just aren't going to look the same. There is no way. Now, that may have been shaken up a little bit for you from last year being so completely different. It was a great opportunity. And I say that with a lot of understanding that like it didn't feel much like an opportunity in a lot of cases. It was very painful. at this time, you can take the opportunity of this is a space of shifting. So looking at what do you want to carry forward? What changes might you want to make? What patterns do you want to start to cultivate? Now that we've had this break and things have been weird, you get to decide what it looks like as you go forward. So let's talk about some of the specific tools that you can engage to navigate all of those things and show up in a more intentional way versus a reactive way. Again, recognizing that some of these reactions are things that it can just be helpful to put your noticing hat on, as it were, and be prepared to notice what reactions you have and take on that, like, that's interesting. What did you notice? Because then you can go back and look at it for next time. So it's always a building, learning, growing process. And that's often what I end up doing with clients is you engage the situation and then we kind of look at, okay, what happened? Noticing what the trigger was, noticing what the reaction was to that trigger and coming up with a supportive plan to engage it the next time it comes up, because most of the time, these are things that will come up again because brains like patterns. So, all right, tools. The first one is defining your values. What is really important to you in this season, in this time, or in this interaction? So when you think about interacting with people, what is the purpose for you in this interaction? And not purpose as in what you want to achieve or get from them. Sometimes we get confused there. It's more about purpose as in how you want to show up to the relationship. So whether it's a relationship with an individual, whether it's a relationship to the season as a whole, whether it's a relationship to a tradition, being able to look at what's important to you. What is your purpose in engaging and showing up here? How do you want that to look? How do you want to feel? I look oftentimes with, you know, combining this with your vision not being an outcome, but being a, how do you want to experience this time? Who do you want to be? Like, how do you want to show up? And what impact do you want to have? And then I would add into that, like, what will support you. So knowing what's really important, and maybe there are particular traditions that are particularly important. Maybe there are certain foods that you want to have. Maybe it's a certain activity that you want to do. Knowing what is most important here so that you can set reasonable goals, reasonable expectations for yourself and communicate those to the people around you, which is also important for them and expectations. So the next one is clarify your budget. Once again, taking it out of this vague, amorphous space, the more you can clarify and get specific, the more helpful it will be. Really looking at your finances, allocating those finances according to your values, versus basing the decisions off your emotions. Your emotions will likely come up, they do for most people, in situations, especially around gift giving, depending on how you feel about gift giving and expectations around what you think other people are going to give you, what you are going to give other people, what you might be giving to yourself. I worked with someone recently who said that they always give to other people and no one ever gives back to them. Like, they always have to fill their own stocking and they feel kind of selfish buying things for themselves. And taking a look at that, because you deserve to have nice things. You deserve gifts. So if other people aren't giving you things, then you may want to look at that relationship. If we're pouring out with no return, are you able to return to yourself, or are you waiting for someone else to validate your ability to receive? Because if that's the case, then you may be blocking reception. Have you articulated your needs to other people? Now, and I say this because I had an interesting dynamic with my husband whereby he is not very attuned to gift giving or letter writing or anything like that. And I told him, like, hey, I would really like for you to get me something. And he was like, well, now it doesn't have any meaning because you told me to get it. And I was like, okay, so here's a list of things that you can pick from. Pick from something. But it didn't really sink in then either until he realized that I had gotten him something for his first Father's Day and he hadn't gotten me anything for my first Mother's Day, let alone from a birthday. And he was like, oh. So, you know, sometimes it takes something else for people to realize. And you have to decide what are your values? What's important to you about this? And recognize that it's a choice. You do not have to do any of it. You get to choose. Now, making a different choice may make other people uncomfortable. That can happen. And you are allowed to make other people uncomfortable. I know that's hard for a lot of people. I know that's been very hard for me to be like, you're allowed to not like the choice that I'm making. It is still my choice and I am still allowed to make it. So that can be very difficult. That can be very, very difficult. So I just want to let you know that it is okay if you need to set a boundary and do something for you or not do something you are used to doing or other people are used to you doing because it is necessary to protect your own energy and to be able to show up the way that you want to show up. Because maybe the way you've been showing up is by overhelping and then being a grumpy pants all the time, right? If that's the case, then maybe you pull back on the overhelping and just help. And then you can let go of the grumpy pants all the time. And that may make some people uncomfortable at first. They may have gotten to a point where they expect you to do more things than you are willing to do. So some of that takes you also being able to let them be uncomfortable and also yourself be uncomfortable. I talk a lot more about this in the episode on setting boundaries. So if this is resonating, make sure you go check that out. But it is a process. It is a big process. So defining things, clarifying things. A lot of times people prefer to avoid looking at the money because it's so uncomfortable. And because when you look at it, you know that you may see or you may be afraid that you may see that you're not able to do as much as you wanted to do. But it's possible you'll see that you can do more and feel better about it. So rather than having your emotional charge, define how you show up with this and define how much you spend so that you're not spending in alignment. When you engage it consciously with your values in the forefront, then you can show up to making choices in a more conscious way. The same thing goes with time. Allocating your time based on your values and set expectations with other people. So set those. This is when I'm going to be available. This is when I'm not going to be available. Rather than trying to sneak time. I am a chronic time sneaker. Just to be honest here. I have a tendency, oh, there's a little window of time. I didn't want to take away from everybody else. So everybody seems to be doing something. I'm going to go sneak some time to do this thing that I want to do. And then because I didn't set a clear expectation, everybody suddenly is like, wait, where did Valerie go? Because she's not just around and available. And now they're annoyed or they decided to do something and I wasn't available because I went to go sneak this thing and get it done. I've done this a lot. And as someone who has done it a lot and is working to shift that habit, it really is very important to be able to decide like what time you're spending doing what. And again, not everybody's going to be happy with it. Some people may find it uncomfortable that may not fit their values for the season. And that's okay. The more clearly you set those expectations, the more you give them the opportunity to choose how they are going to show up or to acclimate to those choices. They may not. Again, it is also about being able to let them have their feelings and okay having your own feelings. Clear communication. That's the next one. And I've kind of engaged that with all of these. The more clearly you're communicating with yourself about what's important, about your values, about your budget, about how much time you actually have, because that's the other piece of time. Sometimes we overestimate how much time we have or underestimate how much time we have, and that needs to shift. So the more clearly you're engaging and communicating with yourself, being honest with yourself, the more you're able to communicate with other people and have a conversation. Because you may find that they have an idea that would be a different way of engaging that would still be supportive. But if you're not communicating, then you don't have the opportunity and they don't have the opportunity to come up with a solution that supports everybody. Now, this isn't going to work with everybody because not everybody is able to engage at that level. So again, sometimes it's you doing your part and letting go of the rest. So yeah, I know that it's not comfortable, but it is part of it. So stating what your needs are, stating, and I say stating, it might actually be putting it in writing because not everybody processes the same. So if you have a tendency to say it, but it doesn't feel like it's being heard, you could also write it and it may still not be heard, but you know, you tried, you put it in writing. You can also ask people, you did not hear me when I set this expectation, it seems. How can I communicate this in a way that you will hear and give people an opportunity to help find a solution? The next one is don't take things personally. And I say this because no one can push a button that you don't have. So what they say is about them. What you hear is about you and vice versa. I'm going to say it again. No one can push a button you don't have. That is not to say that someone pushing a button means that, oh, it's just in your head and you just need to let them do their thing. No, you may need to set a boundary. The buttons help you discern that. So recognizing that if something is bothering you, it's something that you get to look at and make decisions around. It's not just something happening to you. It is something that you get to make choices with and engage. I just had a call with a client who was having some dynamics with her spouse where they were not seeing eye to eye on a situation. And I asked about the opportunities in that. And she told me about all the ways and places where they don't see eye to eye and it's actually been beneficial and valuable. And so I was like, oh, so it's really the places where you already have buttons that it's problematic, huh? And she's like, oh my gosh, it is. So it's helpful to be able to notice those things. And again, noticing your reactions can help you notice those buttons because those are your opportunities to make choices to support yourself. And support the relationship by supporting yourself so that you can show up more like the person that you want to show up like in the relationship and make decisions about what that relationship looks like and communicate with other people. So all of these things are based on you being aware of what you're bringing to the table, the dynamics that you are bringing to the table. The next one is assume good intent. That is not to say that you should allow people to do whatever because, well, they meant well. That is not what we're saying here. What we are saying here is if you put on rose-colored glasses and take a look at the situation, what might look differently? So it's about giving yourself space to look through a different lens and see if there's anything to see that is different. So if you consider, well, maybe someone was communicating a love language in a different way, like maybe they have a different love language. I like looking at love languages, though I really need to do an episode all on love languages, because I take a slightly different approach than like, this is your main love language. I think they fluctuate. But noticing how you're communicating affection may not be how someone receives it, and vice versa. So when you put on those rose-colored glasses and you assume good intent, you may actually be able to ask them, okay, you did this thing or you said this thing. You probably meant well. What did you mean by that? Instead of just automatically getting defensive. Now, too much of that can become exhausting. So this is where you have an opportunity to set some boundaries. If you have someone in your life who is constantly doing things or saying things that really push your buttons, taking a look at what's going on for you and what needs do you have to maybe create a little bit more space between the two of you so that you can process that and show up. Like, you know, it's about quality, not quantity, right? Those kinds of things, those kinds of decisions are things that you can make in those situations. Also, assume good intent is based in where you focus. So are you focusing on the frustrations or are you focusing on the things that are important to you? So I want less stress versus I want to enjoy my time. Right? There's a slightly different focus, because if you're focused on, I want less stress, you're looking for all the places that you have stress to reduce them versus I want to enjoy my time. What maximizes your enjoyment and how do you expand that? So there are certain things that are focus-based. The next one is have a plan to support yourself. So going back to, if you're constantly having your buttons pushed and you know that certain people tend to phrase things in a way that really rubs you the wrong way or whatever, have a way out of those conversations. If you know that you tend to have tense dynamics with someone, and that's not just going to change overnight, even being aware of it, have a way to essentially like give yourself a time out, have a way to take a break, take space. One of my favorites is, I got to go use the bathroom. Like, who's going to argue with that, right? I got to go use the bathroom right now. I will come back to that conversation. I have a whole list of suggested ways that you can engage in a relationship to like diffuse the situation or give yourself a break or whatever. So I will make sure that those are available. And actually, a little side note here, I am working on a whole resources page where you can get all the things in one place, easy to download and access. I'm not just moving physically, I'm also moving in digital ways as well. So there are some exciting things coming with that. So definitely keep your eye open. If you are not following me on social, primarily Instagram, or if you're not on my email list, then maybe do that. Or keep your ear open for the next podcast. And I'm sure I will have information for you then. But some really cool things coming that way. But that particular list I will make sure is linked in the show notes. If you haven't checked out my stress release episode, Understanding Your Stress Language, which is episode 3, that one also has some great tools around processing stress. So when you notice yourself triggered, you can have your way out and go process your stress in the way that fits you best, and then come back to the situation to engage in a way that is supportive instead of just reactive. Identify your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual needs. So when you're thinking about supporting yourself, think holistically. When you're looking at your values and what's really important, what's going to support you showing up in that way? So going back to like the weather stuff, you know, maybe having some extra vitamin D, maybe getting some exercise or having certain times where you exercise, that gives you an automatic out. So if you're like, I am always going to go for a run first thing in the morning, set my day, or maybe it's after meals when I know that things can get a little tense for me because everybody is like full and sitting around or whatever. Maybe that's a time that's important to you to be around. So knowing that value, maybe it's like right after that time, before bed or before the dinner time, whatever, you know, like it can be a way of not only improving endorphins in your system, but also giving yourself some space to process or make a phone call to someone who is a support person for you if there's something that you want to process that has come up for you. If you have that space automatically communicated and an expectation set both for yourself and the people that you're going to be with that you will take that time, then you know that you always have that time available. Speaking of emotional support and someone that you can call, have an emotional support buddy. Have a friend on call. Like maybe you tag team of like, hey, if you need anything, just call me and I will be here for you. And same for another person. It could be your spouse. It might not be. Sometimes our spouses are the people that rub us the wrong way during the holidays. So it's generally good to have like a friend or someone who you know will just listen to you and allow you to process and support you engaging the way that you want to engage and showing up. If you tend, if your stress release response tends to be more venting, it can be just someone who will listen. And you could even set a time like, all right, if you call, I will make sure that I'm available for 10 minutes to just have a vent session, you know, and vice versa. So something along those lines. Another option be to have podcasts to listen to, meditations to listen to, or affirmations. So if you have like, sometimes you, if you have like an affirmation book or something that can support you when you're like, hey, I need to go use the bathroom. Then you go and you read your little affirmations, or you put your headphones on because you have something downloaded onto your phone to listen to help you kind of recenter, ground in the present moment, be where you are instead of in whatever trigger or whatever button it is. Maybe it's a little journal where you write down some notes to be like, I experienced this in my body. This, I feel the tension in this part of my body to come back to later. Right? Maybe it's not something you're ready to engage now. Maybe it's something to come back to later. But that way you have some sort of way to show up and support yourself. And you have a plan that meets you and supports you wherever you're at, knowing some of the things that you may encounter and the way you prefer to process. So those are the seven tools. Define your values, clarify your budget, allocate your time based on those values and set reasonable expectations for your time. Clearly communicate with yourself and with the people around you. Don't take things personally. What they say is not about you. It is about their processing. How you hear it is about you. Taking that in. So like if you have a button, that's your button. Hear what people say in the tangible, right? And what their needs are. And what your needs are. Assume good intent. That doesn't mean don't set boundaries. You still need to set boundaries, but where you focus is important. Have a plan to support yourself on a holistic level. So physical, mental, emotional, spiritual needs. Know what will support you showing up the way you want to show up to the things that are important to you about this season, this situation, these people. Now, if this is something that is a big deal for you, you've got a lot of stuff, because this was very vague. And I say vague, it's very general, I should say. This is very general, and everyone has specific dynamics that show up for them. So if there are specific things that you want to work on, whether it's balancing work and family expectations, navigating a holiday and family triggers, supporting your own space to enjoy and be present during the season. Maybe it's even setting boundaries, supporting communication with difficult people, or you're thinking, you know what, it's coming up on a new year and I want to create an aligned business plan for myself for the season so that I can let go right now and be present where I am, knowing that I'm doing something in the future because I have a plan in place. Any of those are things that I support people with. So if you want to hop on a call, I actually do have a one-off call available on my website, and I'll link it in the show notes. But if you're like, I don't need an exploration call. I just need one call to really dig into these areas so that I have the support I need to engage the way I want to engage during this holiday season before we hit a new year, then grab a spot on my calendar. I don't have a ton available because, like I said, we're moving and there's a lot going on. But you can also shoot me an email and let me know what's going on and we'll see what we can do. So that is available to you as well. I hope that you have a beautiful rest of this year, really engaging, being present, and honoring yourself. This is a time of reflection, a time to integrate everything that we've had during this past year and prepare. Not step, we're not in 2022 yet, so you don't need to jump there yet. But be prepared to do that by being present now. I appreciate all of you being here, and I will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. I so appreciate you being here. If you got something out of today's episode, please share it. Leave me a review, take a screenshot, and post it on social with a shout out to me. Send it to a friend, or, you know, all of the above. Want to hang out more? Join me on Instagram. Or better yet, get on my mailing list to make sure you don't miss out on anything. And remember, your possibilities are as unlimited as you are. Allow yourself to shine, my friend. The world needs your light. See you next time.